This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
All right, I grabbed just a couple of clips here from Mike Brown yesterday. Yeah. So it was open, obviously, to the media because you did have some questions.
Wasn't a ton of questions. Am I wrong?
But at least they...
Oh, no, they did.
It wasn't just like, hey, here's Breen and Alan Hahn doing a two-on-one with Mike Brown.
I wasn't home during the day, so I watched it on YouTube and I watched what the Knicks released. I didn't see, maybe someone else put the press... I couldn't hear the questions.
Yeah. That was a factor.
Right, no one was mic'd up, just him.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it was him at the podium. He basically just walked out there and gave a little quick intro. Here was part of that.
I'm honored and excited to be the new head coach of the New York Knicks.
Very deliberate pacing from him as far as all
very
these
answers slow.
Went. Yeah, yes, exactly.
And it didn't also, the one thing I was impressed with, I don't think he was reading anything.
Oh, no.
And it seemed like he hit on everything in his opening statement that he wanted to get to.
Yeah, so. Including... Hey,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
A quick question. When did winning the press conference start?
What does that mean,
winning the press conference?
Well, you hear that. People will say, he won the press conference, or he lost the press conference.
Well, I don't know like,
when
it started,
become
but
a, thing?
A guy like Adam Gase lost the press conference.
Yeah.
Well, we thought he drank a bottle of NyQuil before he
But that's losing the press part conference.
But did it start with him?
No.
I don't know.
Definitely not.
I don't know.
No.
But that would be an example of watching it and you're like, uh-oh. Like, this is the coach? Yeah.
Do you think Aaron Glenn won his press conference?
Yes.
I thought he did.
Yeah.
I thought he was very stern and very deliberate,
But it means nothing.
It doesn't. Ultimately. None of it means anything.
It really doesn't.
But you say that, CeeLo, but I think for fans who are passionate about our teams like we are, mm-hmm. It also comes off as an indicator if this guy is worthy of the job or if he's right. You know what I mean?
It can be, but I'll give you a perfect example to poke a hole in that. Nick Sirianni had a disastrous opening press conference.
And his first year press conferences.
Horrendous.
I thought he had a bad one after the Super Bowl
loss. Well, that's a little different.
When they asked him, you know, after he was kind of demoted for certain roles, and I think one reporter asked him, hey, so what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm going to control the culture. And I was like, control the culture? You're the head coach.
Yeah. Like, we've been doing since.
But that's a great
example. That's all you're going to do?
Yeah. Like, a very good example, though, of someone who doesn't look the part, and yet they win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So what does it matter?
Howard Roseman has put together a juggernaut.
Yeah. Sure. But, I mean, they still got neat coaches to get these guys prepared.
Oh, yes, 100%. I think Fangio's amazing. Like, I don't discredit none of that.
How about Rex? How about Rex when he got here? I mean,
that's another
good point. But I think fans now look at the press conference as a green or a red. You know what I mean? Am I going to support this guy? Or am I going to be like, man, his body language, the way he commands room,
Here's what I would tell you. As a fan, I want to see one of two things.
I just didn't think it ever mattered, and it feels like it matters more than ever this time.
Everything matters now because of social media, and everything's out there and lives forever, essentially.
Okay.
I want to see a coach that is either going to look articulate and intelligent or fired up. And if you get the combination of the two, you really like it. What I don't want to see is a flatliner, blah, or an Adam Gase type of press conference, or you're right, Sirianni, I would have been panicked.
Like, Bowles had success while he was here, and he, Selig would tell you, he didn't, I mean.
Well, he did the first couple of years.
The one year with Fitzpatrick.
Doesn't matter, it's on the record. Nevertheless, my point is.
His press conferences were.
People ate him up for his, like, to see those.
But you know what, though, Willie, that's part of it, too. Like, I did that Bucks game this year against the Niners that San Francisco won. When I was walking out of that state, now they turned out to be in the win the division. I know they were in the playoffs.
Bucks won the division.
They wound up winning the division. They were in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield finished the season fantastic. When I was walking out of that stadium in Tampa, not New York, they were screaming to get him out of there, like, fire this idiot, Todd Bowles. They hated him. Mm. And part of that, I do think, is the way you put yourself out there. They think he's just adult.
Yeah, but then a guy gets dragged for doing too much or playing and not being his authentic self. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather be with a guy who's a consistent flatliner, to use your words, and win and get progress than a guy who has to be win one for the Gipper and you're losing and nobody believes you.
Well, that's where winning matters most.
Well, I talked to you the last time I was on, falling on deaf ears. That's part of it. You know what I mean? When you're constantly charging a hill, and there's nothing coming from it. You're like, man, you're just talking.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, and I was never behind the scenes to see it. Didn't Bowles, away from the mic and the
dog,
meet, he get after
he
you,
got
right?
after yeah. all of us. And that's yeah. But that was part of it. People never understood that was part of his protection.
Maybe, but you know what that would have done with the fans? It would have showed them a different side of him that they would have liked, because the fans thought he was soft.
No, he definitely wasn't soft.
That's what
but
I mean.
But it doesn't
he
do
gave
you any
that
favors.
All, he gave off that impression to the public.
Yeah, but for the locker room, it's more important you're loyal to us than the media.
Sure.
Yes, but when you start losing, you lose the fans first. And then you ain't getting them back.
I think you lost the fans very quickly. Yeah, I think you lose the locker room first before the fans, because we're the ones who are we're living with you.
Yeah, I get that.
I will tell you, Todd Bowles lost the fans long before he lost the locker room.
Pretty much with week 17 in Buffalo.
We got to go. We can continue this.
I know. We'll get more Mike Brown out. Yeah. I need to. Next hour, I want to ask him a follow-up about another infamous press conference in Jets lore when he was with the team.
Okay. Oh, perfect. No problem. Sounds good. All right, Chris, we'll see you next hour. We'll come right back.
Hey, who would have thought putting the guys in the right positions could lead to better defense? And obviously the bats break out, as only the Yankees can do, at the stadium, clobbering the Seattle Mariners. Also from yesterday, BT, we got into it a little bit at 1 o'clock, or no, for an hour, discussing, I almost called him Mike Woodson. Mike Brown.
I've almost done that a few times.
Mike Brown and the Brunson ramifications, Rick Brunson and the coaching staff and all that stuff. But Mike Brown, as we got off the air yesterday, was introduced in a press conference as the new head coach of the New York Knicks. What did you take away from that press conference? You felt good about Mike Brown? I know you were a Mike Brown fan before. What'd you feel like coming away from that?
I feel good. I thought he came across, you know, very very likable, but in charge as well. A totally different presentation from Tom Thibodeau. Now, I've also learned years ago, and it took me a long time to learn this, don't always judge the press conference, you know? I mean, think about some of the ones that we've fallen for, where we're like, God, I really thought this guy was going to be the real deal, and then he falls apart. So I don't want to place too much value in that. It's more, to me, it's what he's done as a coach, and really the differences, Sal, that he's bringing to the table from what Tom Thibodeau used to do. It's just a very different energy. Even though Mike Brown is not young, he just comes across as much more youthful. I think he's going to connect with these players, provided they all buy in, which I think they will. And I'm a Mike Brown guy.
Yeah, I came away from it even less inspired than I was going in. Now, it doesn't mean that the Knicks can't win. I think they're going to have to win in spite of Mike Brown, who I don't think is a good head coach, or certainly not as good as Tom Thibodeau. The word salad babble and coach speak cliches were nauseating. He sounded like he didn't have a clue. I don't know where you get that he's going to be a leader of men from. I didn't get that at all. He couldn't command the room. Now, to your point, does that mean that he can't command you know, the four as a head coach? No, because we've seen the opposite, where guys do come in and command the room, and they aren't a good head coach. So I'm not going to overreact to the press conference, but I didn't like the hire to begin with. I don't believe he's a better head coach than Tom Thibodeau. Different, yes. Better, no. And in that press conference, he's talking about, what I'm here to do is build a sustained championship team. Well, when have you ever done that before? The answer is, you don't have to look it up. I'll Google for you here. He hasn't. He hasn't done that before. So what would make me think Mike Brown could? I'll tell you who did. Tom Thibodeau built a sustained winner with this team. He changed the culture. You talk about culture. He changed it. He took the Knicks out of the abyss, built a sustained winner. He did it. That is a fact. Now, you want to talk about championship? Neither guy did that. But at least Tibbs got his team to an Eastern Conference final. Mike Brown hasn't been out of the first round since 2012. So I don't know what he was talking about yesterday, what he was trying to say. I did not get the feel that there was a guy that believed in what he was saying, or that would make me inspired that he's going to command this Knicks group and get them to another level.
The guy's respected, Sal. The guy's respected around the NBA. And I think the guy's a good coach. Now, we can obviously disagree on that clearly. I want to know what you think Tom Thibodeau is better at than Mike Brown.
Coaching basketball.
Okay, a little more specific. What's he better at?
Well, he built up, first of all, he's better at coaching in New York. He's more experienced.
We don't know that yet because Mike Brown hasn't done it yet. We don't know that yet.
But that's already, Tom Thibodeau is proven, Mike Brown is unproven.
No, I understand that. But you can't say that unproven can't get it done. You've got to give him a chance to prove that he can or he can't.
Mike Brown has not gotten out of the first round since 2012.
Okay.
What has Tom Thibodeau done? You want to go over his resume?
Well, I know his resume. I don't need to. But I want to give you Mike Brown's resume, because I think that you need to familiarize yourself with something that Mike Brown did that's important.
Well, go ahead. What?
So we talk about Tom Thibodeau, and the structure and everything that he did to get the Knick culture flipped around, which we're greatly appreciative of, right? Now, do you realize what the Kings were? Because it's very similar to the Knicks, Al. Everybody talks about the Cavaliers with Mike Brown. I think that the Kings situation is almost more interesting. They were a 31-win team the 3 years before Mike Brown got there.
Right.
Year one, 48. Year two, 46. So
year three?
Fired because it's the Kings.
Well, we don't know what happened there, but he didn't build them up into some sustained winner.
Well, he wasn't given the chance, Sam. But Tom Thibodeau took a step back after the good year early, won 37 games, then make the playoffs. It wasn't like this linear trajectory for Tom Thibodeau with no step backs. It wasn't like up, 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 up. It was up, back, up. The Knicks gave him a chance to rectify the back. The Kings didn't. So I just think that Mike Brown is a lot better than you think. Now, I don't know if he's going to win a championship.
But I want to know what that's based off of. 248-win years with the Kings? That's
no,
what we're doing?
No.
Okay, so then give me the addition to that. Because if we go based on resumes, it's not close.
Well, the addition of that is winning a lot of games. I know he had LeBron.
Wow.
Hold on a sec. Yeah. But LeBron was very young. And the rest of the roster that LeBron had was trash. We went through this the other day.
All right.
Varejao. Not that he was trash. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying. No Hall of Famers next to him. So, Zilgauskas.
But where is it then proven that he's a good head coach? Like, you could look at
his record. He's got a better winning percentage in the regular season and playoffs than Tom Thibodeau.
Right, but he had the greatest player, the greatest player in the history of the sport.
Yes.
Even if he was young, he was still incredible.
Well, but even you will admit, Doug Collins, who had a young Michael Jordan, didn't reap the rewards that Phil Jackson did when he got a more mature Michael Jordan.
Right, and how long was Mike Brown with LeBron James?
I want to say maybe four. I don't have it for four.
He was there a while.
Four years, maybe?
The fact that you can't win a championship with LeBron James, to me, was disappointing.
Dude, think about some of the teams going through men. I mean, Garnett's team. He was a pup, LeBron James.
The Knicks brought in Mike Brown saying championship.
Understood.
One problem with that.
Yep.
He hasn't won one.
Neither is Tom Thibodeau.
Okay, but Tom, so then how is he better?
Well, I'm not saying he's better. I'm saying where he's different could equate to better.
How?
I'm going to tell you. Don't you think, or do you think that energy and synergy and body language and inspiration matters? Do you think that it matters?
I think so.
Okay. Tom Thibodeau and his miserable look, I think it just got old, man. Especially when you're coaching guys who are, 25, 26, 27. Now, Mike Brown is not young, as I said before. Mike Brown projects a lot more, to me, positive energy and realness, and I think relatability to the modern NBA than Tom Thibodeau. I really do.
But you make it sound like Tibbs' energy wore old or wore thin on the players.
It did. The exit meetings is the reason why he's gone.
They did.
They're like, I don't want to play for this guy anymore.
Who's that?
We don't know, but you know, we think it was Cat.
It was Cat Bridges. Was here 1 year.
I understand that, but he's going to be
here. You know what? He's a soft ass, you know what?
Okay.
Call Anthony Towns.
Listen, I don't like the fact that.
And Bridges, same thing. Put him in the same boat. Here's the argument against that. Like, because I understand that logic. Hey, his personality, it can wear thin on players. Maybe they're tired of it. Well, then how come they never went backwards? How come this year, if they were so tired of Tibbs' act, how come this year they went further?
Because they have too much talent.
But they went further than they've ever gone before.
Because they
matter
have...
Matter of fact, further than the organization has gone in 25 years.
Yeah, which is what makes this complex, which I get.
But that's the whole point. This is not... I'm not saying Tom Thibodeau is the greatest coach ever. I'm saying Tom Thibodeau had great success with the Knicks.
I'm not debating that. What I'm pushing back on, you're basically saying Mike Brown's a scrub.
Correct.
That is nuts. That is insane.
BT, he hasn't gotten out of the first round since 2012.
Sal, he's basically Tom Thibodeau, Sal.
Yeah.
Except the Eastern Conference Finals appearance last year for Tom. But he's got one as well.
I don't know
but
how
with LeBron, so it doesn't count.
I don't know how he's Tom Thibodeau when he... Okay, let's say he had LeBron, right? And even if you take that out, he was very good with Cleveland. What happened with the Lakers? So now we're supposed to just say, well, the Kings are a mess. Well, why did he get fired from the Lakers in year two?
Well, I don't know the exact circumstances,
okay,
but it doesn't mean that they were right.
So twice. I know, me neither. It doesn't mean that they're right.
Why did Tom Thibodeau get fired from the T-Wolves and they got better when he moved on?
Yeah, but then he also went somewhere else and was there a long time.
Why did he get fired from Chicago? Like, he got fired other times too.
Understood, but he was there more than just a year.
I get that. I don't know what happened with the Lakers.
Me neither.
I don't know.
Me neither, but I do know
this. I know we didn't have Kobe, Shaq, and like the team that Phil Jackson had.
I do know this.
Twice, he had Kobe, but not, you know what I'm saying.
Twice he was hired. After LeBron, he was hired twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once was 1 year, and then he got fired early the next year.
Yep.
The other was 2 years, and then he got fired the next year. That's just what happened. I don't know why. Maybe it's the organizations, multiple, plural. Maybe it's not. But that's what happened. That did not happen with Tom Thibodeau.
Okay, now, but you're not saying that he's a volatile personality. If you were saying that, to me, that would make a lot more sense because there has been an element of, all right, 1 year here, gone, 2 years here. I'll be like, all right, I got you. You're saying he's not a good coach.
I'm saying I don't think he's as good a coach as Tom Thibodeau.
And I say I think that's offensive to Mike Brown.
But I don't know.
You're talking about Pat Riley here. We're talking Thibodeau.
But I don't know. Again, you need to give me something that you're basing it off of.
I just did.
You gave me 2 years.
He turned around one of the most moribund franchises around, and not just in the NBA.
But Tom Thibodeau did it to a greater level with the Knicks
because he was given more time to see it through. And oh yeah, by the way, he had better players. I know Malik Monk is good. I know their players, you know, but he didn't have Jalen Brunson. He didn't have Cat. Didn't have two wings. Didn't have Randall. Now here's the other thing, Sal. Tom Thibodeau, this to me is crazy. If you ask anybody, hey, what's Tom Thibodeau's best characteristic? He's tough. He's old school. They play defense. Or they used to play defense. You know, he's just an old school guy. They didn't practice. When you have a team that wants to win a championship telling us, hey, we got to practice a little bit more. Like, I like Tom. He's good. But, like, we didn't practice. The starters did not practice. So when I sit there, I'm like, man, why don't Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson have more synergy on the pick and roll offensively? Well, I don't know. Maybe because they didn't practice it together.
So Mike Brown, just so we're clear,
yeah,
he coached the young LeBron, right?
Yes.
So the second year as he was a head coach in Cleveland, that was the
year. What year was that, Sal? Just give me the year.
He started in 2005-06, was his first year as a head coach.
Conference finals was what year again?
The second year they went to the finals.
Yeah, but what year was that, though?
2006-07.
Okay, got you. Keep going.
So then the young LeBron excuse should be thrown out the window because he went to the NBA finals his second year as a head coach. 3 years after that, he didn't get back to that level. While winning 45, 66, 61 games. So I'm supposed to believe that guy with LeBron James that went to an NBA Finals in his second year, that won 66 games, 66 won games, won 61 games after winning 66 the year before and failed to get back to another NBA Finals is supposed to be a championship head coach?
No, I'm not saying that.
Arguably the greatest player in the world.
I'm not saying that.
Had a 66-win team, two back-to-back 60-win season with the greatest player in the world who was aging and failed to get back to even an NBA Finals. I'm sorry, but I can't look at that guy as being the guy that's going to get them over the hump as being a championship head coach.
I understand that, but now, like, that to me resonates more than saying he's not good.
I didn't think
I'm just trying to establish us a floor for the poor guy. I mean, you're making it seem like Tom Thibodeau's Red Holtzman.
The floor is that there's talent here, so they should win in spite of who the head coach is. But also, Tom Thibodeau set the groundwork for Mike Brown to come in and be successful.
No doubt.
And all he can do to be better than Tibbs is get, at the very least, to the NBA Finals. Something he's failed to do every single year of his life as an NBA head coach.
How many times Thibodeau got there?
Except for one.
One more than Tom Thibodeau?
With LeBron James.
Okay. I understand that. Who's Casey Jones without Larry Bird?
I'm confused.
He's just a former player.
I don't get how you can, like, based on any metric whatsoever, definitively say Mike Brown is better than Tom Thibodeau.
Well, first of all, he runs offensive circles around him. Last year, the years when he went to Sacramento, he literally, I mean, this is provable, turned them into the most, unstoppable NBA offensive force. He is an elite offensive coach. So, to me, that's where I start. He is a better offensive coach than Tom Thibodeau. Now, again, I'm not trying to turn this into...
The Knicks didn't even want him!
Want who?
They didn't even want Mike Brown! They wanted Jason Kidd! If Mike Brown was such a god, a coaching god with an offensive mind, then why do they need this offensive... Why do they need the assistant? Barreo, whatever his name is. Why do they need him?
I don't know if they need him as much as they want him. Why does any coach need an assistant? Why did Parcells have Belichick? I don't know the answer. Why did Pat Riley have Van Gundy? I don't know.
I don't think Mike Brown is as much of an offensive genius as even you're giving him credit for.
Look at the numbers from Sacramento. It's provable. They were ridiculous. Now, by the way, the Cavaliers team.
They were ridiculous to what extent?
They led the league in offense in terms of pace, in terms of points per game. They were unstoppable. Now, they're deep. They had no wings.
Right.
So... Now he's got wings who could D it up. Like, what he did offensively with the Kings is really, really impressive.
Hey, they won 48 and 46 games.
48 games. How many times did Tom... That's what Tom Thibodeau does.
Oh, well, if it's a great elite offense, could he not win 50 games?
He had a modicum of defense.
Tom Thibodeau won 51 games this year, 50 the year before. And he won 50 in Chicago.
With the top 10 player, Derrick Rose winning the MVP. So getting hung up on... Is Mike Brown the perfect hire? Is nothing that I think we need to get hung up on. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm just saying he's highly viable. I'm very interested to see how he does, and I'm happy that he's here. Like, that's my scouting report. It was time for change. Now, this is nothing new. Whether I'm right, wrong, prove it to be right, prove it to be wrong. I don't even care, really. But I was saying about Tom Thibodeau the whole year. And as my partner, you heard me say that.
Right.
All the time, like, I don't know, man. I don't know about Tom Thibodeau. To the point where during the playoffs, I'm like, I think they got to move on from Tom Thibodeau.
Right, but never once did you say, well, Mike Brown's got to be the guy. Because we were looking at championship, and you were saying maybe Malone.
Correct.
Or maybe a younger, innovative guy. Mike Brown, or a trade for Spoelstra.
Yeah. I gave you names. I didn't say Mike Brown. I admit that.
And I was consistent the other way, saying I would not move on from Tibbs. However, if it got to a point where I felt, okay, well, he can't get them over the hump, sure. It's got to be a championship guy. Everybody's making it sound like Mike Brown is some championship head coach because he's won as an assistant. That's not the same. Tom Thibodeau won a championship as an assistant, too.
Celtics, I never throw that out there. I know you're not saying that, but like, all right, nice. All right, great. You're a little piece of the puzzle. Fantastic. You weren't the head coach. So I don't really go to that too much. But remember the show, and I remember reading the book Showtime, I think it was Perlman and the series on HBO, the way Westhead was fired and the way Pat Riley was brought in, Magic made a power play, right? Westhead was older at that point. He wasn't like a 35-year-old kid, he was older. And then Pat Riley, you know, who was also very young, you know, he became Pat Riley because of what he inherited. And I'm not saying that Mike Brown's going to become Mike Brown because of what he's about to inherit, but it's a pretty damn good start. I always thought the Knicks needed a change, at least this year. I think if you're going to change, It's got to be conceptually and personality, or at least one of the two. And for me, it's both, because Mike Brown's a different personality than Thibodeau, and he's definitely a different coach because he's an offensive guy more than Thibs. So I like it for multiple reasons, and I'm really prepared to let this, you know, to see this through. I thought he was good yesterday, man. I thought he was loose.
Fumbling all over himself.
Well, I mean, we all fumble over a word or two. Big damn deal. Because his syntax wasn't perfect. He's not the man for the job.
He did not inspire to me to be in command. He was more on his heels. I mean, I don't know if I was intimidated by the New York media or just not. There was not a clear, decisive plan or message, or he was not in control. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't coach. I'm just saying that I was not like, oh, okay. Whereas other teams I've seen hire somebody before, I was like, ah, this guy, I don't like this guy. And then I watched the press conference. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Now I understand the hire.
Yeah.
I watched that.
I've been there too with that.
I feel even worse than I did before, and I didn't love it to begin
with. My emotions didn't. Like, there wasn't additional reinforcement. There wasn't like, oof, God, that was Adam Gase level. It was just like, okay, I've heard him speak enough. Because he's coaching the finals. He's been a coach. I know what his, you know, speech patterns are, his energy. I know what players say about him. If he would have like nailed the press conference, I still think you would have held true to what you say about him as a coach. I think you may have felt a little bit better about maybe, because I saw you last night on TV. That's why I want to talk about this. I heard you say to Eamon, you're like, I feel worse about it. You know, sound going nuts. I'm like, all right, well, I know we'll talk about this on the show. But to me, it really doesn't matter, you know, what I think about his performance yesterday or what you think. It's what the players think. And I know the NBA, the players respect.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn.
All right, it's a rat with wings.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so we will have a bat story to tell later. We'll find out what Al Dukes thinks he could do to Tiki Barber as well. We'll mix in a lot of fun. Jazz Chisholm is moving to second base. Jesse Winker is back. Don't get me wrong, we are going to get into plenty of baseball today. But this hour specifically in this afternoon is about the New York Knicks as they get set to introduce Mike Brown as their newest head coach. And of course, we're going to have many questions about the questions that get asked to Mike Brown. So the press conference is scheduled to start in about a half an hour or so. We're going to dip in, listen in, see what Mike Brown has to say. But Tiki, as it stands right now, for me, I think there's a couple things I want to ask to Mike Brown and I want to see how he answers. First and foremost, you're taking this job with a lot of pressure. Do you feel like this is a championship or bust kind of situation?
Well, he can't say yes to that.
I know, but I want to see how he answers that.
It's definitely going to be asked because they were in Eastern Conference Finals last year. But it's a question you want to avoid or at least answer as tactfully as possible. Because if you say yes, then at some point you go on a 3-4-5 game losing streak, whatever it may be. You just don't look the part. This next season, people are going to say, yeah, well, he's not the guy, fire him.
Right.
So you can't answer, you got to answer that very tactfully if you're Mike Brown. But the thing that I'm most interested in, and obviously in that question, but in others as well, is how does he sound? Like, I can't, like, I know we've seen Mike Brown, we've heard him from his days in Cleveland and Sacramento, but it was not here. It wasn't in New York. And so, you know, in New York, as we've said many times, nobody else talks.
Right.
James Dolan does not talk. Leon Rose does not talk. World Wide West does not talk. Nobody talks. The only person who talks the players other than them, is Mike Brown for the organization, or it's going to be. And so how he sounds and handles the media, which, let's face it, it's annoying in New York.
Right.
The media just asks questions even if they're not trying to be, they are. And so when something goes a little bit awry or askew, you're going to get drilled on that question. And how you respond to it is going to determine how we perceive you and then ultimately how we perceive the team. So I'm actually more interested in not necessarily the content of what he says, even though that's important too, but really like how he says it, like how he presents. Think about the Aaron Glenn. When Aaron Glenn first took over with the Jets, you could tell from jump it was like, y'all don't F with me, right? I'm laying down law for how this is going to go on. If you're going to come incorrect with me, then you're getting it right back.
We're the freaking New York Jets.
Right. So how he responds to New York media is really interesting to me because we've seen head coaches in this town lose that press conference and never, ever gain it back.
Bingo. You walked me right into it. I wasn't even actually thinking this, Tiki. This was a great point. I have been fortunate enough to work behind the scenes and go overwork the national side where you were. We worked CBS Sports Radio for many years. I have been out in that newsroom for many a New York coach press conference, manager press conference.
Right.
And you always, always remember the negative ones.
Yes.
Do I remember what Aaron Boone's press conference sounded like? I don't.
I don't at all.
I don't remember what Carlos Mendoza's press conference sounded like. I don't remember what Tom Thibodeau's press conference, but I remember that.
I don't remember Dave's either.
I really don't either, but I remember Joe Judge sounding like a militant, right? I remember Ben McAdoo's suit. I remember Adam Gase's eyes darting all over the place.
I remember
Mickey Callaway kind of sounding like an idiot as well. Like, we have lived through some of these press conferences, and the reason I bring up those guys is, did any of them last year? So not that a press conference determines whether you will be a great head coach or manager in this town or not, but it already sets in motion if you leave a negative taste in that first impression.
No doubt.
What people think of you, and that gets awfully hard to recover from
it sucks.
In this town. It sucks.
But it's the reality. Because if it's bad, you remember it.
Yes.
And even if it has nothing to do with his coaching ability at all, we're going to judge his coaching decisions based off the first negative impression that we got. If it's bad.
Yeah, if it's bad.
If it's good, you kind of just like, all right, whatever. It just goes by the wayside. But if it's bad, it gets related to everything that's bad associated with the team.
Tommy, you're Mr. Nick. You're positive Tommy. What are you looking to hear from Mike Brown today?
I think we'll use Adam Gase as the Mona Lisa of bad press conferences. Because he literally looked
because
like...
Because the visual.
He looked like he was being held hostage, which I guess when you're the Jets head coach, it's kind of fitting. But
right.
He just, the darting of the eyes. Mike Brown, this is not his first rodeo. He's used to this. He worked in L.A. He worked in Cleveland with LeBron. So I don't think he's going to be intimidated by the New York media. But what I'm looking for as a Knick fan, starting lineup changes. Is he going to go with Mitch and Kat in the starting lineup? Is
he's not going to tell you that today.
Josh Hart on the bench. But even if you could gauge Teak, it's almost like, you know, raising in poker. I want to see how you react to it. You may not tell me your cards, but I just want to get a tell.
I'll let you continue, but I think a different way to approach that would be, we talked about Tom Thibodeau at nauseam for the last couple of years about the minutes usage and not going deep into the bench. And we clearly see by the Knicks' moves this offseason, they're trying to deepen that bench. What, maybe not what the starting lineup looks like, but how are you going to handle starters' minutes, so to speak, and how deep will this team be?
Yeah, that was more of my questions. Developing the younger players, playing the bench more minutes, getting more out of, or how do you plan on getting more out of Kat and JB offensively, especially working together, their chemistry. And look, listen, it's the elephant in the room, Rick Brunson, who has been at least perceptually demoted here. What do you think of Rick Brunson, his role on the team, working with Rick Brunson? Those are the questions. Maybe even something on Mikal, getting him a little bit more unlocked offensively. Maybe just overall the team, like getting, because Mike Brown's an offensive mind. How do you plan on getting this team to be better and more efficient offensively?
Yeah, and you brought up, obviously, Mikal Bridges and going through everything in rotation. Look, this is a guy that has worked under Greg Popovich. He's worked, like you said, with LeBron in Cleveland. He was the guy, people forget this, that had to grab Meta World Peace out of the crowd in the Malice at the Palace and pull down. Like, he has so much experience dealing with all the ebbs and flows, whatever you want to say, under coaches, with stars, you know, growing young player. You know, Bridges, when I get the most out of him, what he did in Sacramento for that year was incredible, too. Yeah. He has so many life experiences, and I wonder if he leans on any of those in the press conferences, because I think it's very easy for anybody to look at Mike Brown being hired and be uninspired by it, even though we all like it. But the truth is, every time you get a new opportunity in the coaching world, you're supposed to learn from your past experiences. And he has a Forrest Gump-like resume all over the league with these experiences. And maybe we haven't seen the best of Mike Brown as a head coach, and that's what he brings to the New York Knicks now.
Yeah, he's really run the gamut as far as being in L.A. with Kobe, being in Cleveland with a young LeBron, being an assistant with the Warriors and winning a lot of championships there, and then getting the Kings back to the playoffs for the first time in like 20-something years with a young team that was mainly an offensive team. So I don't think there's anything that could be thrown at Mike Brown that he hasn't experienced throughout his coaching career. He's seasoned. He's dealt with stars. He's dealt with tough media. I don't think there's anything that he can't deal with. And I think that just automatically, if you want to go the route of, hey, some of these players weren't happy with Tibbs because of the minutes or maybe because of the roles on their team, you're going to have that honeymoon phase right out of the gate. Mike Brown's going to be the most popular guy in the room.
I hope he shuts that down. I hope he shuts down the what happened before out just immediately, because it doesn't matter. And as soon as you get into the judging, Tommy's going to get asked it. But as soon as you get into the judging of the guy that preceded you, you kind of lose the battle. Because you're not talking about anything going forward. You're talking about the past, which is inaccessible to you and you had no influence over. So I think if Mike Brown is smart, and I know he is, it's got to be driving forward. It's got to be what I'm bringing, what I'm doing, and has nothing to do with the history that this team just went through with a pretty damn good head coach in Tom Thibodeau. We as fans can pine and talk and opine about it all we want, but him as the head coach, it can't enter his consciousness at all.
Now, we could talk about not looking to lean into the past, but there is an element that will be discussed that Stephon Bondy reported on earlier. I heard Sal and BT talking about it as well, which is, it's speculative at this point, but the idea that Brown is going to be given full autonomy to hire his lead assistant coach on the bench, which would mean a lessening of a role for Rick Brunson within the New York Knicks, which would also, I guess, kind of help alleviate what may have been some problems within that locker room last year, where maybe Brunson, being the father of the star player,
do we think
had
that
too much
real?
That's the thing.
Like, I don't know.
This is what I find so difficult about this, Tiki. Jalen Brunson, from what we can all see, and this is why he got himself in the King debate with King Judge, was the idea of, he's the ultimate captain, the ultimate team player, and it's very hard to feel like anybody in that Knicks locker room could walk away with a bad word about him. But, you know, when your dad, we talked about yesterday with Anthony Volpe's dad defending him from the stands.
Right.
When your dad is a lead assistant coach on the bench, we kind of just accept that, well, everything's good in the Jalen Brunson world. You know what? If Mike Brown's getting hired here and there feels that need that he needs to have a say and not have Rick Brunson undercutting, there has to be at least something there. I'm a big when there's smoke, there's fire.
I think it's also like a really delicate situation for Mike Brown.
Because
you also don't want to diminish Rick Brunson, even though he's technically being demoted. You still want him to feel like he's an important part of this.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, it becomes a bug in Jalen Brunson's head.
Definitely.
And something that not really is not going to have any impact, but it could at some point. Right? Like down the line, you got to think about how relationships matter. And Rick Brunson has one of the longest ones of anybody on this. It's going to be on this staff. And so, and especially with his son being there, you really have to think about how you handle it.
And I'm assuming based on whenever they talked to Jenkins about this and obviously bringing Mike Brown in for the second interview, this had to have been a big topic of conversation. How do you handle, we're not going to get rid of Rick Brunson. Mm-hmm. What would you like to do here? What's the dance you want to play here? And I'm also going to respect Jalen Brunson a little more to think he's going to be offended in any way by a sliding back of his father as the assistant coach.
It's the business.
It's the business. And I think Jalen Brunson gets the business of that as well. I don't think it's going to be a massive deal. The only thing I would say is, if Rick Brunson is going to be demoted in any way but remain a coach, are you better off just kind of cutting ties now and having that conversation with Jalen Brunson? Like, look, there's a new coach, a new regime. What do you want to do here? Or is the reason he's not being completely taken off the bench because you don't want to alienate your star?
Right. I don't think you can move on from him. Reassign him. Whatever. I don't know what the word is. Like, I think you just have to let it play out. And maybe this happens a year from now.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Maybe the Rick Brunson exit happens in more saving of a face manner.
A long goodbye. Give him whatever his role is this year.
Right. And so it's not an immediate goodbye where it feels personal. Even though it's not. It's just the business of the game and probably the prudent thing to do if you're Mike Brown. Get your staff the way you want it.
Sure.
If Rick Brunson is not part of it, then Rick Brunson's not part of it. But because of his son, it is a delicate thing to handle.
I think the demotion of Rick Brunson is more perception than it is reality. I think if he had any kind of stroke or any kind of power or any kind of say, he still has that. I just think that the organization, probably a Leon Rose, maybe even a James Dolan, said, you know what? Perceptionally, everybody thinks Rick Brunson is sort of pulling the strings, maybe got Tibbs fired. I'm just speculating. And we're bringing in a new coach, even though he's a seasoned head coach. We don't want to cut his legs out from under him as far as media, where you have to answer the questions. So we'll say, all right, we're bringing in another guy. Brunson loses a little bit of stroke, but it's more perception than it is reality. And as far as whether or not it's reality, I think it dates back to the stuff that happened in the preseason before the season started, which was Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm. but he was screaming at Brunson. He says he was screaming at Tibbs. This is what happens when you're in charge.
Right. Assuming that daddy be in charge.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it all started there, kind of went away, but it reared its ugly head later in the year. So I think that's where it kind of all started.
Okay. We all unanimously believe the Mike Brown hire is the right hire for the culture of this team, where this team is at. 888-808-1019. But let me ask you, Tiki, and I will ask Tommy the same exact question. Is there anything you think can be asked in this press conference and or answered in a way in this press conference where you will have any doubts that this is the right hire?
No. No.
No.
I don't
nothing.
Think so. I don't. Well, the reality is, who else was going to take this job?
That's a good
was
point.
Going to be better?
That's a good point. You have to think
Jenkins
of that net
maybe.
Filter.
Maybe Taylor Jenkins. Maybe that's it. Just because he's young and he's, I don't know, had success in
Memphis
and, you know, he had a young team, had a dealt with a superstar there, right? So maybe you would say Jenkins, but he didn't get to the second interview. So what does that even tell you? So I don't think there was a better coach that they could have hired other than the unknown, right?
True.
Who is this guy? The Jordy Fernandez of the world, right? Who the heck is this guy? I have no idea who he is. Oh, he turns out he's a fantastic coach. But the Knicks weren't in a position to do that. They weren't in a position to hire a maybe. They had to hire somebody who had experience, who had success, not the ultimate success, obviously, but someone who is respected, that is going to understand the relationships in a locker room, is going to understand how to manage personalities in that locker room. And he's been around for so long with superstar teams that I think he knows what he's doing, regardless of the kind of locker room that he's going to have with the New York Knicks. It's going to be different than the ones he's had before, but I'm not worried about how he's going to manage it because he's done so much in his career already.
Now, you're positive, Tommy.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you feel you could walk away negatively if you hear something or a question answered not the certain way? Is there anything that comes to mind before we hear this press conference?
Not necessarily. Maybe more in the way he answers a question. So I brought up the Adam, but here's the flip side of that. I brought up the Adam Gase press conference.
Well, you're not going to get Mike Brown's eyes darting all over
the place. He was being held hostage. But I think back to Joe Judge, who had one of the best press conferences in the history of this town, and he ended up being a total boob.
Right.
He didn't know what he was doing. So you could win
a
press conference.
Well, that's also because he didn't know what he was doing.
Right. But he knew what he was doing in that press conference.
Yes.
Boy, did he sound like the next great head coach. Boy, like, but it's so memorable how great it was. So I think Mike Brown is a good hire, and if he has a great press conference, it'll only strengthen that. But even if you say the wrong things, doesn't mean you're going to be a bad head coach. I'm trying to give two ends of the spectrum. There's nothing that he could say at least, you know, 20 minutes before we hear from him that makes me feel like, boy, this was the wrong hire. We'll see when it all, you know, unfoils. But
so we are going to give a listen to Mike Brown when he does, in fact, take the podium at any point here over the course of the next 40 minutes. But get your calls in before the press conference begins. Is there anything you're looking to hear from Mike Brown specifically and your thoughts on a Rick Brunson demotion? 888-808-1019. Evan still in France. Oui, all the way home. We don't know when he makes the move to Barcelona, but that's happening soon. We haven't seen Enrico. He enjoyed a night free of sports, so that was good. It's Sean, Tiki, Tommy, Rosie here with you along the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025, and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the meat of the order. For the Yankees last night, meat of the order was cooking. 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 combined. 11 hits, 9 runs. Yankees crank out 10 runs, and they get the win, which is most important. So, Yankee bats waking up. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 1905. Now, a quick little thing here. So I don't know what this means. I saw it last night. I saw somebody else tweeted, I forget who, somebody who follows the minor leagues, but last night the Yankees pulled Everson Pereira and Brian De La Cruz from their AAA lineup, okay? And they remain out today. It's not injury-based here. And usually when you see that, that means basically you want to keep somebody healthy before you execute a trade. Now, I don't know. I'm just trying to piece things together. We know that the Yankees are going to try to do some stuff. Cashman always tries to cook it this time. Got Jazz a year ago, bullpen arms. But the fact that they were so definitive in moving Jazz to second and saying he's going to stay there and saying that DJ's not playing third and, you know, two kids in the minors getting yanked both days here and put on ice, they got something cooking soon.
Maybe. Andy Martino was saying yesterday that as far as the Mets were concerned, that a bullpen arm is more likely to happen sooner than later. So maybe that would pertain to the Yankees as well. If the bullpen market is taking shape way ahead of the deadline, maybe the Yankees have something cooking there. We'll see. They desperately need a bullpen arm right now, the Yanks. That would be the one thing right now and dire needs for. Obviously, a third baseman as well, so we could see what happens here. There is some news that I wanted to bring up with the Knicks.
Okay.
Ian Begley reporting, it's about 10 minutes ago. Pelicans associate head coach James Borrego, a Knicks target for a lead spot on Mike Brown's staff, will be staying put in New Orleans.
All right.
No Knicks interviewed Borrego for the head coaching position, had interest in adding to the staff. He's valued by New Orleans. So now, the genius, Mike Brown, is going to have to figure out the offense on his own, like a big boy would. And it also is more interesting to me now that if his top assistant is off the board and a guy that is known for the offense and creativity, what does that mean for Rick Brunson here?
Which is what we talked about yesterday. Yeah. He was pushed back a seat. I don't think it means anything. I think, like, if we suddenly find, oh, the Knicks changed their mind, and they're not going to relegate Rick Brunson to a lesser role. Come on, buddy, you're right next to the coach. Then that would just be a circus. So I don't think that changes at all. And, you know, he didn't have, what's his name, Borrego?
Borrego.
He didn't have him with the Kings there, right? So he doesn't need him. I don't know what he's going to do. Dude, the associate head coach, like, are you telling me the reason why the Knicks were so good last year is because of Rick Brunson? Like, what does the associate head coach do?
No, but he was Tom Thibodeau brought him up within the coaching ranks.
He did.
And then to be his right-hand guy, I know it was about Tibbs. It's not supposed to be about the associate head coach. I'm getting the sense with Mike Brown, a lot was being placed on the associate head coach, and everybody was more excited about Borrego and his offense.
I didn't even really know anything about the guy, except that he was with the Pelicans. You're going to have to get permission to let him go.
Right, but a lot of people, you know, that know a lot about the Knicks and the inner workings of the NBA or offensive schemes and sets, we're talking about the importance of adding Borrego, who was viewed as a young, innovative offensive mind, whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's a scouting report.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I've never heard of him either, but those are, you know, the research that we've done leading up to the Knicks head coaching search, they interviewed the guy to be the head coach. So it was, you know, he's obviously an up-and-coming coach, valued so much that New Orleans doesn't want to let him go, but now it's more on Mike Brown. I'd be curious to see who the next hire is going to be for his associate head coach.
If Mike Brown can't do the job without Borrego, then they hired the wrong guy, which I don't think true. I think I will be interested to see how long this goes on. I mean, is this now another, you know, circus like the five other people you start hearing? I hope it's not that. I hope it's figured out pretty soon. This doesn't worry me at all.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Richard is in Melbourne, Florida, talking about what you wanted to say before, BT, about a possible Yanks trade. What's up, Richard?
Hey, Rich.
How you doing, guys? Great show. I believe you took the thing that I was going to talk about, De La Cruz and the other gentleman, but I believe the Braves and the Yankees are on heavy, heavy talks with the third baseman.
Austin Riley?
Yes, sir.
Why in the world would they? What? There's no way that's happening.
I'm telling you.
Well, if they're going to, why do you think that?
Somebody in, I have family in Atlanta and somebody who works in, for them, told me that they heavy, heavy talks and they're trying to get another reliever inside that trade. So I think that's what's holding up. They're not going to wait for the trade line.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, Jazz, I just looking this up. I mean, Austin Riley, thanks for the call there, Rich. The Yankees pulled the trigger on the Jazz deal July 27th, which obviously is not July 9th, which is what today is. So, you know, it doesn't mean that Cashman can't pounce early. I brought up the two young players that were pulled from AAA. Maybe something's cooking. But I looked up. First of all, I know about Pereira. The other guy's been in. He's like 29 years old. He's not even a prospect. So that sure is not. That's not going to get you Austin Riley. Why would the Braves trade Austin Riley?
I just did a quick Google search. And AI tells you, while there's been some speculation about a potential trade involving Braves third baseman Austin Riley, particularly due to the team's underperformance this season and his high salary, it's unlikely the Braves would actually trade him. Riley's a cornerstone player, signed to a long-term, affordable contract.
Yeah, he's making $22 million a year.
You know what? I hope they do trade him. There's no way they would.
Atlanta's there's no not, way.
They're not trading Austin Riley.
So and by the way, Sal, here's the thing, too. Like, if the Yankees were to get Austin Riley tomorrow, of course I'd be pumped up, right? But when you ask, he's 29, a little older. Like, he's a little sneaky old. He's 29. And, you know, now you look at he's under contract in 2027, 2028, 2029, 2030, 2031, 2032. You don't have a team option until the year 2033 when he's 36. So now, and I don't think the Braves would bite off any salary. Now, he is a stud. He's got power. He's a gamer. I really like him. Even if the... I don't want to get stuck with these 7-year contracts anymore.
Yeah, it's a decent value, like you said. Riley's a game changing player. Hoff, you said you have more info on this outside of the AI search.
There is an actual article back in April from Brendan Cuddy when he said that there's a possibility, there's a trade scenario where they could scoop up Austin Riley, but you'd have to include George Lombard Jr.
Okay, well now you're talking. Okay. So now you're talking. Now at least you could say Atlanta's going to think, okay, well, we love Austin Riley, the player, but if we love George Lombard Jr. even more and he's a lot cheaper, then we'll give you Austin Riley. You take on the salaries like the big boys that you are in the New York Yankees trying to win now, and we'll take back Lombard Jr. Yeah, you going to be willing to do that?
I'm not giving up Lombard, no.
You're not getting Austin Riley?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
There's nobody that you give up Lombard.
I don't think so, Sal. He is one. I want to ride this out. I mean, he looks
same
different.
Same with Volpe. Same with Spencer Jones.
But hold on. But Volpe was never. I mean, when you wanted to trade Volpe for Castillo, he had just gotten here. He was a first round pick who can run. I'm like, no, I'm not giving up on him.
I'm saying in general.
I get that. Yeah. And I don't think that they should have, more
Spencer
importantly.
Spencer Jones was you definitively last year, but also they didn't.
That was one that I was a little reluctant to let go.
All right,
but
also they didn't want to do it. They had a trade on the table for Corbin Burns. They said no. So the Yankees didn't want to trade Spencer Jones, and now his value is nowhere near what it was a year ago.
I don't know about that. He's actually, I don't know if that's true. It's about, Spencer
him.
Jones.
Yeah.
Spencer Jones is crushed at a Double-A, and he's crushing at Triple-A.
Oh, good, then bring him up.
Well, no, hold on. I'm just responding to what you said, which is incorrect, that his value's not high. It's absolutely higher than it was a year ago.
I do not believe it is higher than it was when they were offered Corbin Burns for him. I do not believe Spencer Jones.
Well, that was, what, 2 years ago, right?
No, that was before last season.
Before last year. Yeah. But he wasn't coming off a great year last year.
And then Spencer Jones stunk last season. And now he's building his value back up.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think it's to the level that it was before.
Well, either way, he's not. I'll give up Spencer Jones for Austin Riley. Well, I'm just not giving up. Of course I'll give him up.
But that's my point.
I'm not giving up Lombard for him.
Right, but last year you didn't want to give up Spencer Jones. So how could his value be the same if you're going to give him up now?
Because they got enough outfielders. Right. Well, I don't think that they need him right now.
Spencer Jones?
Why not?
Power bat? Run like a deer?
Dominguez.
Hit like Judge?
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen.
You might have to give up Dominguez. So you're gonna
I'll give up Dominguez for the right guy.
Yeah,
Lombard's different.
Well, Ramirez or Austin Riley, you giving up Dominguez?
For Jose Ramirez?
You're just not giving up Lombard.
I'm not giving up Lombard. I said that yesterday. No. I mean, you can ask me every day. Lombard's untouchable.
But for nobody. I'm saying for nobody.
Now, Dominguez, for Ramirez, I'd make that move.
It was written by Steph Bondi, the Post, who's on top of the Knicks and all this stuff.
Does a good job, yep.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy this.
Okay, let's go.
Mike Brown, this is, again, Steph Bondi, New York Post, just published about 8 minutes ago. Mike Brown, who will be introduced today at 2:30, is expected to hire a new associate head coach. This is according to the Post, which means that the dynamics in the front office, in the front of the Knicks bench will be giving Rick Brunson a lesser role.
That doesn't mean anything to me if Rick Brunson's still on the bench.
Well, but still, he's here.
Rick's got that kind of personality where Rick is going to make himself feel awfully at home. He knows Dolan. And I'm not making about this. I don't want to make this anti-Brunson, like the coach. But if you're going to relegate him to a lesser role, which is what they're... Just get rid of him, dude.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that because...
Well, then they're not doing the right thing. They're asking for trouble.
Let me finish reading here and see if you change your mind. It's viewed as a gesture by the organization to give Brown more control while simultaneously addressing the distractions or perceptions of conflicts of interest that arose last season by having the star player's father as the top assistant.
It's a stupid move by the Knicks here.
Wow, this is I'm a shocked very, at this. I don't like it. I thought you would like it.
I thought you were being facetious. When I knew what you were saying, I thought you were being facetious. Like I thought you were saying, like, oh, he's going to hate this.
No,
I can't stand this.
They're demoting Rick Brunson. You wanted him out of here. This is the next best thing.
But if you demote, then you should just get rid of. You got to understand the pre-existing relationships that obviously has with his son, but with his son's boys are still in place. So if there's a problem and, you know, I'm just going to throw a dart at the board and guess that the Knicks don't start without an ounce of turbulence, I don't think the Knicks will be 20-1 and wind up winning 67 games this year. There'll be a little figure-out period. And the first figure-out period, what happens? You go to people that you trust, people that you've been with, people that you've been in foxholes with, and that is Rick Brunson and not Mike Brown. And when that happens, I'm worried about a bit of a circumvention of power, and I'm worried about roles getting distorted. I'm not kidding. I don't like this at all. I'd get rid of Rick Brunson.
That makes sense. They're not going to get rid of Rick Brunson.
But I'm saying I would.
I know, but even that, you could be in lieu of upsetting your star, you'd do that? He's the star player.
Then what they should have done, if they weren't, I'm saying I would have gotten rid of him.
I understand that, you would have done that, and Jalen Brunson would be like, BT, what the hell are you doing?
I would say, all right, well, you're on the contract for 2 or 3 more years. You're going to stop playing or what? What are you going to do?
And he's going to say, I want to trade, and now what?
I say, I'm not trading you.
Yeah, you know, you're going to be screwed.
Okay, well, think about this, though. And I'm not trying to make it seem like Rick Brunson is some incredibly beyond control, unchecked, divisive figure that's destroying the Knicks. I'm not saying that at all. But every first-rate, first-class organization has to have a very identifiable pecking order of power. And you tell me, all right, well, hey, Rick, you got to slide down 2 seats on the bench. Still there.
Rick Brunson, I'm going to continue to read here from Steph Bondi of the Post. Like Rick this. Brunson is said to be on board with the demotion.
Got no choice on board.
The source said, this is what's best for the organization and the players.
He's on board. What's his other option? To kick and scream and get fired? He's on board for now.
He was elevated to the lead assistant or whatever they called under Tibbs. He's now demoted under Mike Brown. I thought this is what you wanted. You want Brown to come in and have his staff. He gets to hire his top assistant. Brunson's not forced on him. He's going to get demoted here.
I don't like it. I think this is setting Brown. Not that Jalen can't handle this. I think that this is putting Mike Brown in a rough spot. Because think about this. You're missing this one important point here,
Sal. I know what you're saying.
Think about this. They realized that they had to do something, a little something, rearrange the power distribution. So they did it. If there was no issue, there would be no change in what Rick Brunson's role on the team was. To what degree, I don't know. I don't pretend to know, but there was an issue. So because there was an issue, they're like, all right, our way of addressing this is now taking away some power, but he's still here.
Yeah. You know what the next step is going to be?
This strikes me as a Jets move.
You know what?
I'm serious.
This is why I didn't like the idea of firing Tom Thibodeau. You know what the next step is going to be? There's going to be some issue that's going to arise, whether it is back-channeling or whatever you say, and guess who's going to be annoyed by it? Jalen Brunson's going to be annoyed by it because he doesn't want his father mistreated. He doesn't want his father probably.
Yeah. Which I get. That's the human aspect of it. Just like Michael Volpe standing up for his son. Jalen stand up for his pops.
Defended Michael Volpe for yelling at a fan.
I did defend him because that fan was a punk. Come on.
But yeah, you want to fire Rick Brunson when Jalen Brunson's a star player? Like, come on.
Well, no, but if you weren't going to fire him, then just keep his role as is.
That's why I don't like this. I thought you were going to like that. I don't like this.
All right, let me ask you. I'll use a different show so it's not personal, even though we're just messing around with this. Let's say the radio station decided, you know what? We got to make a change in the afternoon show.
Yeah.
We're not going to fire Tiki. I love you. I'm just saying this. We're not going to fire you, Tiki. We're going to make you do updates.
All right.
You tell me that's going to fly?
No.
He's still employed.
Well, okay. But Brunson had to accept a different role. He had to accept the demotion. He didn't have to.
Okay, and then he doesn't get to be with the son.
Right, if they say, Sal, we don't want you to be part of the midday show anymore, it's not working with you and BT, here are your options. I could either choose to accept the demotion.
I agree with that. I understand that.
Or go elsewhere.
Yeah, but your daughter, because does not work here.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee if your daughter worked in sales or worked on the air, that you'd probably be a little more inclined to stay.
Well, then if my daughter was Jalen Brunson, I'd be like, JB, pack your bags, we're going elsewhere.
Hey, if my son was Jalen Brunson, daddy would be on a beach with a hammock, sipping Lord knows what, playing golf.
You know where he was last night?
All.
Rick Brunson last
Coaching.
Night?
Coaching. I'd be sitting.
You know where he was last night? Candlelight.
Get Who was? Some... Rick Brunson?
Yeah. My sources tell me.
Oh, really?
Now, I knew this before the show. I didn't think Rick Brunson was going to be in the news today necessarily. Yeah. Although, like, I just assumed, and I'm the fool for assuming, I assumed he was going to be maintain on the staff,
which
and
he
the
is
top, the top assistant. Like, I guess I didn't give him much thought. So obviously he's not going to be the top assistant. He's demoted, but I didn't think Rick Brunson was going anywhere, and he's not.
What other? Okay, forget about the Knicks and Brunson and Mike Brown. That just what other team in town? Like, ask somebody. That is a serious reduction in authority. Some of the ass backwards teams like the Jets and the Giants, they wouldn't even do this.
You're saying once you reduce somebody like that, better to be out. I get it.
I think it could be untenable, Sal. I do finish. Not like this at all.
It's unclear. This is according to Bondi of the Post. Steph Bondi does a great job for covering the Knicks for the Post. It's unclear who will get the gig as Brown's associate head coach, but Borrego, the initial choice, is under contract with the Pelicans. There's skepticism that he'll be granted permission to leave. Either way, Brown will be introduced today. He's going to choose his top assistant. Darren Erman, Mo Cheeks, Mark Bryant, all coaches on Tom Thibodeau's staff last season are expected to return under Brown.
Okay.
A source confirmed that to the Post. That was Ian Begley who had that first of SNY. But Brunson's obviously going to be the big role change here. He was elevated to the front of the bench last season after the associate head coach Johnny Bryant left for the Cavs, and now he's being demoted.
Now, did you ever see Johnny Bryant having an issue talking trash to a former Knick, like with DiVincenzo?
No, he doesn't have that relationship that Rick has.
I understand that, but you got to know your role. And my concern is, and again, I really do say this with all due respect. I really mean that. Sometimes we say, oh, with all due respect. I'm like, we don't really. I mean it. With all due respect, I don't know any other top assistant that inserted themselves into the equation quite like Rick Brunson did last year. Now, I don't like that. I don't think that's harmonious. I don't think it's good. I think there's mixed messaging because different personalities and different relationships. Yeah. It's just not good.
The final paragraph here, the Jalen Brunson backed his dad. This is before this stuff. It has nothing to do with this. You know, Jalen defended his father when the league was probing into what happened with the Knicks roster, because they elevated him just because of his son, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And Jalen had some great things to say about him. Look, the way he's taught me, raised me, whatever. I've seen his impact on other areas of basketball. Like, he's a great coach. Basically, is what Jalen's saying. And Bondi finishes by saying, still, though, the distractions continued in the summer following the firing of Tibbs when a Hoops Wire report surfaced claiming multiple players. I don't know if you were here that day. I think, were you here that day?
We didn't talk about this on the air.
Right.
We
so definitely I did that day. I remember having the conversation with Hurley before the show saying there was a new report about Brunson. This was it. So from Hoops Wire. So you must have been off that day.
Mm-hmm.
Hoops Wire report resurfaced claiming multiple players were unhappy with Rick Brunson's presence on the bench. And, quote, sources suggested Rick has too big of a say in things.
Okay, I mean, are you coming to my side of the street yet?
No, because
did they get rid of 10 players? Hey, it's the same players.
I would have elevated him to head coach before I move on from him. It's all about Jalen Brunson. Without Jalen Brunson, I don't give a crap who's head coach of this team. Without Jalen Brunson, they have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So if it means bringing Rick Brunson aboard or keeping him aboard or keeping him happy, then I'm doing that.
Did Rick Brunson coach Jalen Brunson when Jalen was dropping 40-plus when Doncic was hurt for the Mavericks? The answer is no. Did he coach him and win him a championship at Villanova? The answer is no. That was Jay Wright.
Well,
I got news for everybody. Jalen Brunson has been able to flourish at every... He didn't even coach him in high school.
I did hear.
At every single level without his daddy.
I told you, though, I did hear that Rick was a big presence at Villanova to a point where maybe...
I never saw him once.
Maybe the coaches didn't love...
Oh, well, okay. I only do a couple St. John's Nova games. Yeah. I'm not saying he was
front center. I'm just saying that, like other dads could be a problem at lower levels or college, Rick was maybe a little bit of a challenge for some of the coaching
for Jay Wright. And if that's Jay Wright, who was, basically...
I'm just
below Patino and a few others, when he was still coaching, like the godfather of hoops, if that was an issue for him... I don't understand what the hell's going on here. Now, the more I think about this, the more problems I have and the more questions I have. So that report exactly identifies and really backs up what I'm saying. Now, they didn't name which players, okay? But I can promise you it wasn't Tyler Kolek and Hoctoody.
No, we know who it was. Yeah,
whatever that is, I'm getting worked up.
We know who it was. It was Townsend Bridges.
Exactly. Yeah. Are they still on the team?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that problem resolved, or is that just kind of pushed to the side of the room? And now the first little flare up, guess what? Things probably go back to where they were. See, I'm a believer that it is best to remove a problem than to push aside a problem and hope that it stays silent.
But your idea of removing this particular problem would be creating another problem.
Says who?
By making Jalen Brunson unhappy.
What do you think? He's 9 years old?
Yes, he doesn't want his father to get fired.
Get out of here. Come on,
Sal. I guarantee you he does not want his father. Dude, look at his... When the report came out a couple of weeks ago that said Rick Brunson will remain with the Knicks, there was something like that.
I remember.
And Brunson retweeted it saying, what?
What? Yeah, he wrote
like,
what?
Like joking around like, oh my God, what a shock. Like... His dad was never going anywhere. By the way, the rest of the staff isn't going anywhere either.
They don't deserve to go anywhere. They didn't cause any problems.
And neither did Tom Thibodeau, but they fired him.
Wait, I'm not talking about Tom now. I mean, which, by the way, you and I just fundamentally disagree on. And we actually
kind
of
fire the guy that brought in the whole staff. We're going to keep the staff, but fire the head guy?
Well, but we also say because different might not be better, but, you know, it might not. He might not be better, but he would be different, which could equate to being better down the road.
Why not? All right, here's what I'll say to you.
This is
my
weird.
My core belief would be, forget Jalen and his father for a second. The core belief would be, if you make a head coaching change or a managerial change, you allow that guy that you hire to bring in his coaches, his staff. Like, that just seems like a simple philosophy. We've gotten away from that. Where, hey, pitching coaches are here, they're built in, you're thrown on you work with this guy,
definitely.
Hitting coach, built. I would rather hire the manager. Now, again, it's different in baseball, the way the sport has evolved, but same thing with the head coach. I would rather hire a head coach. In this case, they made the idiotic decision, in my opinion, to fire Tibbs. Okay, so be it. You hire Mike Brown, let him pick his staff because you want him to be surrounded with people that he knows and trusts and is comfortable with. It's like... basic hiring 101.
Now, Mike Brown is a man of principle. He is a man of experience. He is a man of certainly basketball. I'm sure regular intellect, but I'm for basketball intellect and accomplishment. Like, the league respects Mike Brown. So I'm not too worried. But now if you're Mike Brown, I need to know, like, was he given the, no matter, I know what we've been told, but what's the real deal? Was he given the choice or the chance to move on from Brunson, or were they, or is it presented?
Probably
hey, listen,
not. You know,
okay, that's a problem.
Yeah,
but that's a fundamental mess waiting to happen.
So, where they meet in the middle is they're going to say, okay, we're going to keep Rick. You could demote him and keep the others on the staff that we like, that we believe in. You're going to have your choice of associate head coach, your top head coach.
Okay, and do you think that that means that Rick Brunson is going to play nicey nice in the sandbox all the time?
Because I don't.
Okay.
I know.
So your answer right there should reshape what you're saying.
No, but.
Because you're telling me that you think it could be a problem.
No, I didn't want to fire Tibbs.
But you got to move on from Tibbs. Tibbs is gone.
No, it's part of the problem because this leads to the domino effect of what happens when you break that up. There is a chance that this firing of Tom Thibodeau could lead to, at some point soon down the road, the end of Jalen Brunson. This is the first step where we're already seeing it. Tom Thibodeau out, Rick Brunson demoted. The next step is going to be an angry, upset Jalen Brunson, and that's what I don't want.
Or a very happy Jalen Brunson because he quickly learns he's got a better offensive coach, which is what I've always said is the reason for change.
You're taking the human element out of it.
I mean, maybe to an extent, but I also think that you're overstating his inability to play without daddy. He's 27 years old.
I'm not saying he can't play without daddy.
Or function without daddy. Daddy, can he drive me to practice?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he'd be unhappy.
He's 27 years old.
Saying he'd be unhappy.
He ain't going to be unhappy if they're putting up $125 a night and, you know, Cat finally gets his ass in shape and the Wings finally start playing like they should.
You don't think he could be unhappy with the way the organization is? If, again, I don't know Jalen Brunson. Uh-huh. I don't know what he's thinking other than using common sense and doing some math to what he's put out there before. He loves his father. He believes in his father.
Of course he does.
Okay. No, but I know love, but believes in him as a head coach.
Intense love. Intense belief. I agree with that,
too. If they wrong the organization, and by the way, he loved Tibbs as well, a guy who also took care of his father. Yep. Step one, firing the head coach that he loved and believed in. Step two, demoting his father. Now, the Knicks are ultimately bigger than any individual
player. Step three, they're going to slash his tires?
Step three is upset the superstar.
Okay, I hear you. Yeah. I don't feel you, but on this, I hear you. But I also think what's happened with like, say if he really did feel like his dad's completely already disrespected, or maybe even more disrespected down the road. I believe where Jalen is now is that Jalen Brunson is in that awesome space of being right in the middle of your prime for the marquee team along with the Lakers. in the biggest city and the baddest city in the world, and he loves it. And he's not going to let his daddy getting relegated or silenced or eventually fired or whatever. He knows what he means to the Knicks. And I believe, I don't want to say that that supersedes family, but on some level it does. He's always going to be his dad.
If I put myself in his shoes and say, I came here with things set up a certain way. Yeah. I elevated this organization basically on my own, but I elevated this organization with the help of Tibbs, my father, certain players, whatever. Then they get rid of the one guy who was the main guy in Tibbs. They demote my father. I'm looking at that organization a little different than I were prior.
You might look at it differently, but he's wired too professionally to allow it to impact his actions.
Oh, okay, but it
not could, like some other guys in the NBA who
worse.
Might.
What if Mike Brown and his brilliant offense, I mean, what if Mike Brown can't get out of the first round? Something has done since 2012.
Well, then you fire him and maybe elevate his pops.
I mean,
if you really, if there's ever a point to placate him, you know,
what if Mike Brown goes the way of Don Nelson? And Ewing didn't like Don Nelson.
By the way, Don Nelson was right. Ewing was being too stubborn. That offense should have ran through Mace.
Yeah.
Don Nelson was 15 years ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Patrick's, and I love Pat, but Patrick's slow behind, getting up and down the court, did not mesh with the changing NBA. Don Nelson got fired, and he deserved to because Pat wasn't happy.
Yeah.
But the concept of what Don Nelson was trying to do was actually right.
No, he didn't have the right group.
Was.
It was a bad.
I'm he had Mason.
He had the wrong. You can't come here and do what Don Nelson tried to do. Not with that team, where Jeff Van Gundy then took them to other levels that Don Nelson would have never.
Only because he got new players. He got Allen Houston, he got Chris Childs, he got Larry Johnson, he eventually got Sprewell. Nelson didn't have that.
I'm not saying he was a bad coach. I'm saying it was a horrible fit for the New York Knicks, and specifically Patrick Ewing at that time, where Ewing still had some productive basketball. What if it goes the way of that and Jalen Brunson's like, I don't like this? And then what? If it gets to a spot and we're already headed in that direction, if it gets to a spot where Jalen Brunson isn't happy here, That's the end of what we knew of this version of the New York Knicks.
Is there a chance that, now he's never going to say this because this pops, that Jalen, in his own quiet thoughts, is like, all right, my dad's a little nuts. I mean, we're acting like he thinks that he's
maybe
walking on NBA holy water without flaw.
But then why wouldn't they just push him out the door? If he felt that way?
I'm saying they should have.
If Jalen, yeah, but you're saying what if Jalen's not happy? If Jalen was, hey, you know what? I love my dad, but he's a little bit of an issue.
But he's not going to be that. It's one thing to understand. It's another thing to bring it voluntarily to somebody, basically say, here's the axe, cut off my dad's head and whack him. I'll tell you what, this was interesting.
Yeah,
I did not hear that. I do not like that. I think that the Knicks, I don't want to be overly dramatic here because their roster's loaded and the East sucks. This decision by the Knicks is an asinine one.
Hoff has a quick conspiracy theory before
the
break.
I've been saying this for a long time. They are turning their back on Jalen Brunson. Their shiny new toy is Carl Anthony Towns, and he's supposed to get an extension 2028-29 for $419 million. I guarantee that will not happen.
From Towns?
Jalen Brunson.
Well, if it's for Towns, then this franchise is sunk.
They're not choosing Towns.
Get in shape, and then we'll talk.
BT and Sal show.
Learn how to
the
finish
fan.
A layup instead of flailing around like a deer on ice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.